Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 25th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. And we've got a few headlines before we speak with our guest for today, Dan Sears with Willamette Riverkeeper. We are going to be talking coal, and it's a subject now which is of such great concern and the topic of so many conversations across Cascadia that one would think that we've covered just about everything. What Dan and I propose to do here this morning is to touch on aspects of the proposed coal terminals and trains carry open cars of the stuff. We're going to try to find something here that apparently others have missed. We're going to go, spelunking in mainstream and alternative media for those byways that have not been explored so far. Because if the public, if listeners, left, right, center, wherever we stand politically, fully apprehended what it is we're contemplating doing to the place where we live, we would not even be discussing it. It shouldn't be a matter of consideration. Before the headlines, though, we have probably partly sunny skies for today, becoming overcast. There's a slight chance of rain for the evening hours. Daytime temperatures in the 50s, but you wouldn't know it because of the wind chill factor, at least out in the gorge. Winds 5 to 15 out in the gorge, gusting up to 45 miles per hour, and I will say that's absolutely correct. That's exactly what winds are doing out in the gorge right now. The pattern holds somewhat steady as far as temperature is concerned for tomorrow. Although we have clouds moving in, overcast skies late this evening and into the morning, so we can expect a few showers tomorrow. Again, temperatures in low 50s for daytime, nighttime dropping down into the 30s. It's going to be cold. There's even a chance out in the gorge of a bit of sleet, maybe. And that's it for the conventional weather. We're backing away a little bit from the alternative forecast until Wednesday, when we actually have something to tell you to talk about. Before we speak with Dan Sears, I want to just quickly get us through a few headlines, because there are things happening nationally this week. Yesterday, we talked about energy, this ridiculous farce of a conference taking place in West Virginia and featuring as the keynote speaker none other than Joe Manchin. This is the coal. This is a conference on coal, right? And of course, it's touted as being nonpartisan, and we have voices from all different sides. But come on, people. It's Joe Manchin presided over one of the worst mining accidents ever. And that's simply a mining accident. That's nothing of the effects of coal on the communities there in West Virginia, very old Appalachian and communities that are gone forever. And we don't think about human communities, people becoming extinct. But you know what? A creature and its environment are inseparable. Animals, creatures, and we are animals, evolve to occupy a particular biological niche. And once you have destroyed that, you've destroyed the species. Something to think about when you contemplate coal. But today, attention is shifted to Guantanamo. A military judge held a secret war court session on the weekend on defense lawyers' efforts to uncover evidence of what the CIA did to the alleged USS Cole bomber during the years in the agency's black sites. Both the public and the alleged terrorist were excluded from the 111-minute hearing in this case, and they shouldn't have been, because this is serious. The government is seeking to execute Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri as the mastermind of that event in 2000. So we'd like to know what's going on, what's being done in our name. And then there's the revelation of even worse abuses of forced men medications during interrogation sessions that were used at Guantanamo Bay. More and more are finding out because, of course, they can't keep them there forever, or perhaps they can, we'll see. But nonetheless, the use of medication on prisoners is forbidden by every form of law on the planet. Okay, I've got a heads up here. Because of lateness today due to speeding ticket this morning, we have very little time. But I'd like to talk to Dan Sears now because this is about coal. Good morning, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Chris.
We're going to have to extend the conversation beyond this particular program. But right now, coal, what is it we're missing? What is being left out of this? It's very difficult for many Americans to look long-term at the effects of our decisions now.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, where the agencies that are reviewing coal export proposals, particularly the Morro Pacific Project, starting in Boardman and going down to Port Westward, at least DEQ decided to take a narrow view and to issue air and water permits, which is a real disappointment. They did, however, decide to proceed and look at the water quality impacts on a more broad basis, which is good. So I think what's really getting missed in all of this is taking the whole picture into account and looking at the entire project for shipping coal down the Columbia River, first in trains, then in barges, and then ocean-going vessels. So we're calling on the state to take a hard look at the entire project. In that effort, on March 8th, Saturday, that's 1 week from this Saturday, 12 noon at Pioneer Square, there'll be a big rally and a people's hearing where we'll get our voices out, and we hope to see everyone there.
Yeah, taking a stand, letting your voice be heard, that's critical right now. So of course, our giving people an idea of the scope of what they are proposing. Do you have a notion of river miles? Of how many actual miles of river would be affected by this? Some of the routes that these are just proposals. There are a number of different routes, I note. But can you give listeners an idea of how many miles of river are potentially affected?
You know, it's hundreds of miles. If you could take the entire watershed into account, where you look at where this coal would be coming from, you know, coming from Montana all the way through Spokane, coming down the gorge to Boardman, and then, you know, going on barges and then ocean-going ships all the way to the mouth. It's the entire watershed that's at stake, you know, with not just coal, but also with oil trains that are now already moving down the gorge. So we have a huge concern about the scale of what's being proposed in both coal exports and oil exports at this point. So March 8th is a great chance to bring light to that situation.
Yeah, write it down now. March 8th. That's it. And the other question that just before we let you go, some idea on this, we have the recent terrible environmental accident, and no idea apparently of how to clean it up. We haven't handled these chemicals before, but has there ever been an instance that, to your knowledge, where coal has entered the environment and we've successfully cleaned it up?
No, I mean, it's a matter of cleaning up, you know, at least in the case of what's proposed here in Oregon. It's cleaning up dust. It would be very difficult to capture that. I think there's just no getting around the fact that coal is dirty.
So there is there's no cleanup. It doesn't matter whether they plan for it or there's environmental mitigations. There is nothing we can do. It's not when it happens. No, it's not if it happens. It's when it happens. Dan, thanks for that. Need to talk to you more about this throughout this week. because that date, March 8th, it's coming right up soon enough on the horizon. Thanks so much for that. My guest has been Dan Sears with Willamette River Keeper. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, February 25th, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks, Janet. And Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO-AM News Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. And thank you, all of you, who renewed or started a membership in this recent winter membership drive. Thanks so much, everyone.
Flashpoints. Anti-war resistor Colonel Anne Wright reports back on the geopolitical struggle against U.S. hegemony in the Koreas. Also, Colonel Wright talks about her anti-drone battles here in California. And we'll be joined also by anti-Jeju activist KJ. And we'll hear an extended version of our interview with Dr. Victor Rios, author of Punished, Policing the Lives of Black and Brown Latino Boys. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, we turn our attention back to the situation around Jeju Island, the constructing of a massive base. The United States says, well, it's not their base. The Koreans say it's their base, but they don't have any kind of equipment or a ship that needs a base so massive. We do know that the construction is destroying a very delicate ecosystem. And, well, we're very interested in this story, particularly in the context of its geopolitical implications in what some people refer to as the China century. Again, Colonel Anne Wright, retired, a former diplomat, worked for many years, decades, for the U.S. military and as various levels of the military. Colonel Wright, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thank you, Dennis. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you with us. Tell us about, I don't think the situation in terms of people know something about Jeju. They know that there's an incredibly beautiful, pristine seaway being destroyed. But this is really a huge geopolitical battle in which the United States wants hegemony in that part of the world. Do you want to talk about this?
Surely. I was on Jeju Island just in November. That was the second trip I've made in 2.5 years. And it's there to support the citizen activists that are challenging the South Korean government's building a huge naval base, really at the request, I think, of the U.S. military, who want to have another base for which naval destroyers that are carrying the Aegis missiles can use. And here you have in South Korea that certainly doesn't need yet one more military base. They've decided to build it on a pristine island, 100 miles south of the mainland of South Korea, and in an area that has great spiritual, emotional meaning for the people of Jeju Island, on this wonderful area that has volcanic rocks that are unique in the world that have now been blown up and concreted over.
Tell us about, Colonel Wright, tell us about some of the people you met there and what you learned and what kind of impressions you took away.
Well, I met citizen activists that were living on Jeju Island, farmers, people who were raising tangerines, you know, the salt of the earth people that have been living there for generations, who drop everything to come out on their little motorcycles whenever they hear the sound that something else is happening, that they need to be mobilized to come challenge it. I met Catholic priests and nuns who have been really, really foundation part of this citizen activism who are flying over from the mainland and some living in Jeju Island for now several years to provide a spiritual base for this challenge to the naval base, and people who are willing to go to jail. I mean, they know that if they get arrested inside that base trying to stop the demolition of the rocks, that they are going to jail. And several of them have been in jail for over 200 days.
Now, this is an extraordinary part of the world, or should we say this is a part of the world that went through extraordinary suffering because of former U.S. geopolitical strategies. Do you want to talk about a bit of the history, the amount of suffering that the West has already caused this part of the world, and what might be at stake here?
Well, indeed, the